the right side of the footplate when you're traveling by steam.
KKPT, Little Rock, The Point, 94.1. You are witnessing the last Beaker Street on The Point. We have now roughly 3 hours left to go. It is roughly 9 o'clock, and it is time for Little Rock Classics, Lost Classics, Seeker, what is it?
Watcher
of the Skies. During the time I've been doing this on weekends, on Sundays, which has been since, 1989 now, we've sort of had a break in the middle of the show just kind of to do something a little bit different, kind of, I don't know, give the muse a few minutes to figure out which way she wants us to go next. And among those folks doing that were Scott and Will Warren and Mark Arrow. And they are all three sitting here, and God, what a rogues gallery before me. Oh, God.
All
it's a good thing.
On.
All three have faces for radio, just like mine. Okay, what are you guys up to?
Well, we're just going to do some strangeness since this is the last Little Rock Classics on The Point anyway. And as Clyde said, Mark Arrow is here, who used to host Lost Classics, and Will Warren's here, who hosted Watcher of the Skies. So I thought it'd be interesting to kind of talk for a few minutes about kind of how all this came about. Clyde, as you said, it was partly to give you a bit of a break.
Which you never did.
But, yeah. But, Mark, I guess we'll kind of kick off with you, since you started out first in the 9 o'clock slot. Your show was called Lost Classics. How'd you get started doing that?
Well, I actually started out in radio back in the campus a radio station in Fayetteville in 1973, and it's hard to imagine, but, you know, 73, so it's been like 38 years since the first time I went on the radio. But like so many people out there, I kind of cut my teeth listening to Beaker Street, and I was always a huge fan of radio. And after I did that show up in Fayetteville, I came down and did another show with the community station here on 88. And I got to know Dale. I met him in 1974. And we became sort of casual friends. And over the years, I got to where I started being a hanger-on, and I would come down to visit the show. And I always had this hankering to do something sort of educational. I spent a large part of my time back, you know, when I was collecting records and stuff, collecting the most unusual recordings I could find. And I wanted to have a venue where I could present these unusual recordings. And I talked with Clyde and told him what I wanted to do. And he was a little reluctant at first, to, you know, but he said, well, we'll give it a try and see how it goes. And so in September 18th, I think, 1990, was the 20th anniversary of the death of Jimi Hendrix. Mm-hmm. And I had a couple of recordings by Jimi Hendrix that were pretty hard to find. Those songs were 51st Anniversary and Stars That Play with Laughing Sam's Dice. And so what I did was I thought, well, it'd be interesting to find these interesting, rare recordings by famous people or famous recordings by obscure people or whatever, and present them in kind of an educational format. And so for the 20th anniversary of Jimi Hendrix's death, I put on this thing, and I was trying to figure out what to call it. I said, well, I'll call it Lost Classics, because anybody that's heard, say, Stars That Play with Laughing Sam's Dice can kind of understand why they didn't put it out popularly at the time, but it's a great song. And I began going through my record collection. At the time, it was all vinyl. And week after week, I would come back, and I would find unusual, you know, recordings like rare Pink Floyd songs and things like that, and just different stuff, and putting them on. And it got, you know, got to be kind of a challenge, you know, to come up week after week. And yet, somehow, I managed to do it week after week and year after year.
How many years did you do that, Lost Classics?
Almost exactly 8 years. I started on September 18th, 1990. And in 1998, my wife and I went off to go to school. And so I had to give up the show. And my last show actually aired, I think it was... I know it was September. I think it was like the first week of September in 1990. The 6th, anyway.
Will remembers.
Anyway. Now, and when it started getting to be close to time for me to leave, I was thinking, well, I suppose the show will just kind of go by the wayside. And then Will here, got to be friends. He would he called up and he was telling me a little bit about that. He remembers this better than I do, but he would come down and he would bring some recordings that I didn't have, and I don't remember specifically what it was, but I know that there was like some Gentle Giant in there and some different things. And I discovered that he just had this huge collection of really interesting recordings that seemed to fit. Well, there's this one. I don't know. Should we go ahead and tell the story about the first time you came on? And do you want to talk about that? Well, we talk about it now.
So Will, you kind of took over then when Mark left town, so to speak.
Yeah, for seven years.
That's right. It was real. Came from my involvement with Mark and his leadership tutelage. bad influence. And then Clyde as well, and then Tom Wood. I did a guest DJ show right before Beaker Street around Halloween. I want to say it was 1996.
And this was at Magic 105,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this was over on North Main, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Might have been 95. I've slept since then. But I played some Alan Parsons Project during this guest host show, The Raven, maybe Dr. Tarr and Professor Feather. We talked about Gentle Giant. Spooky Boogie.
We always talk about Gentle Giant.
Yeah. Mark saw Gentle Giant with Jethro Tull down in Martin. So that
played
was
in
connection
74
here. 74, yeah. And I remember, Clyde, when you came in that night, that you were kind enough to at least say you had liked my song selections. Of course, I was already a Beaker Street and Clyde Clifford fan even before you said that. So afterwards, I was...
checks in the mail.
Yeah. I was able to coordinate this Gentle Giant Lost Classics show with Mark. And didn't you play some Rare Bird earlier tonight, Clyde?
Yeah.
I did a Rare Bird show. By 1998, I was up to guest hosting Lost Classics from time to time.
Yeah. Actually, what it was is you brought some music down. I forget what it was, but I used to have these tape-recorded intros. And I figured I wanted to make it like that. And I wrote out this little thing with your help. And I tried to read it and record it. And after about 5, 6, 8 times, and I couldn't get it without flubbing it. And finally I said, look, you know this stuff. Why don't you read it? And sure enough, he read it. Will read it through one time and messed up a little bit. And he says, do it again. And he hit it. He nailed it on the second try, and I said, yes! Anyway, so we've been friends ever since.
That's right. I learned from the master.
Mark, how many of those shows did you record and hand me on tape?
I have tape recordings of almost all of them, where it was one or two where the tape messed up, and there were a few times when it wasn't possible to tape. But in 8 years, I recorded all... I probably did like 50, 51 shows a year, and I recorded all but about 2 or 3 of them.
So those were all on tape?
They're all on tape. Right. I got them at home, yeah.
And
yeah.
I did my shows reel-to-reel, as taught by Mark, for a while. And then we moved from Main Street down to the Clear Channel Metroplex.
Yep, the Metroplex.
And I'm responsible for, among other things, Clyde, taking even more of your valuable break time, because we went to this live format that we're doing right now for our intro. Mm-hmm. And got great feedback. I think it just fit more with my segment for whatever reason. And maybe, Scott, you continued that as well.
Yeah, we've continued it. It's been live, and, yeah, just kind of followed in your footsteps.
Well, the 13th of September, 1998, was the first Watcher of the Skies, and January the 6th, 2008, was the last one when I moved down to Florida. And then February 17th, 2008, was the last Beaker Street on Magic 105.
Well, now, how'd you come up with the name Watcher of the Skies? You said you had a story about that.
Well, it's really the... if you think of the mind's eye and you think about what that song is about, it goes all the way back... It's almost a, without going into the lyrics and the spacey stuff, it's indicative of what that type of music is. Clyde plays a lot of progressive rock. He and I are big Yes fans. Tom Wood is, too. But Genesis, with the Peter Gabriel era, that song's got all there is to the progressive rock, prog rock, I call it, stuff of the 70s. It's got
right.
the Mellotron.
Right.
It's got the, you know, space background influence and theme to it. It's,
yeah.
it's got all the musical up and down to it. The
So it just fit with the music that you featured for the most part on Watcher of the Skies.
That
right?
was what I was trying to do with yeah. my segment, was not try to recreate what Mark did, even though he played some progressive rock from time to time. But that stuff that, I don't know, in the early 70s, Clyde, you remember, was really, really popular.
Yeah.
And it wasn't getting played on the radio anymore, save for things like Beaker Street.
Right. Yeah.
And I always wanted to go back and play the Jethro Tull, play the Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Of course, it wouldn't have had anything to do with the fact that the songs were 10 minutes or more in length, right?
Well, Clyde was always cool about bouncing the commercials at this 9 o'clock hour to the bottom of the hour and letting us do our segments
yeah.
from 9 to
yeah.
9:30. And you can play a 20-minute or a 15-minute song during that. Clyde, did you see last year where Genesis finally got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Phish, the band,
mm-hmm.
did the induction part for you know, playing a song, and Trey Anastasio did a little speech. One of the songs they did was Watcher of the Skies. So I think that speaks more than anything else for the little segment I did about what I was trying to capture and keep going with my show.
Right. Mm. And then, well, one of the things is that I had a few people over the years that brought music to me, and one day I got a phone call, I think it was.
No, you got a, yeah, you, yeah, it was a phone call one evening. Yeah.
And you told me, you asked me if I had heard about this one particular recording, and I said no, and I said, well, you would send me a copy. And
right. Prophetic, almost.
It was. I remembered the recording was The Ultimate Prophecy by J.D. Blackfoot, and it took up a whole album side, about 18 minutes, and I said, man, this would fit perfect for Lost Classics, because at the time, the album was out of print, not on CD. If you found the vinyl, it was like $100 or more. And I got you a cassette copy, and darned if you didn't feature it.
Because it was, well, first it's fun, because that's how I learn about things, you
right.
know, and how Dale, different people, disc jockeys, if you're lucky, if you're fortunate, you have people that bring you really cool stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think all of us tried to do. And anyway, when Will here was ready to move away and he needed somebody to take over, and he actually said, I want to know if I wanted to do it, and I said, no, I think it's, if we can find somebody else, and you stepped up and you've done a spectacular job. So why don't you tell, when was your first experience on the radio?
Well, actually, it was back in college days.
Yeah.
I read the news for the college radio station and took a couple of courses in radio broadcasting. And, it's one of those things that gets in your blood and it never tends to get out. But there was a big gap in time between doing this now and that way back then in the mid-70s. Like you all have said, you just kind of started coming down to the station during Beaker Street, and, we brought Clyde some cool music to play, and
he put up with us.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
So what was your first show?
The first show was actually here on the Point. Clyde had moved over, I guess it was right around the end of February, was the first Beaker Street. Will's got all the dates here. But a couple of weeks after that, I guess it was mid-March or so.
March the 9th.
There you go. I did the first Little Rock Classics. And
what did you feature on the first show?
I featured a group out of Minneapolis by the name of Gypsy. And played several selections from different albums by theirs, and just kind of went from there with it. And really, the thing I was trying to focus on is a little bit similar to what Mark was doing. I was trying to focus on stuff you didn't hear on the radio, stuff that was out of print, hard to find, and that people, when they hear it, it's kind of like, oh, I remember hearing that.
Man, that's a good example, because Clyde has Beaker Street Archives that has a Gypsy album, maybe. But then when you would come and remind us of it or show us some newer stuff or whatever, we'd say, man, that's good. And, of course, Clyde was all over it. I knew about that back in the day.
And Clyde and I kind of got into a little routine because, I'd do a little intro, talk about the band and what they had released and who the members were, and then we'd play some music. And then at the end, I'd always kind of turn to Clyde and say, so, Clyde, I'm sure you're wondering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we talk about where they are now.
Yeah, and everybody else is going to turn around and go, I wonder where they are now.
Unfortunately, a lot of the bands I've played over the years, some of those members are no longer with us. But, I guess we ought to play a little bit of music tonight.
I'll be able to play a little music, yeah.
Yeah, Mark, you didn't have a background for Lost Classics, did you?
For the first, 5 years or so, I tried to feature instrumental music by the band that I was playing, but that got to be difficult to do. And so I actually did use the background from, what was it, Charade?
The original Beaker Street background?
Yeah, the Beaker Theater intro.
Yeah.
Henry Mancini.
Whatever. In any event.
The original.
Yeah, for the Beaker Theater intro. You asked me, what one song would I put on, And I tried to think about it. And out of all the, you know, tens of thousands of songs, there was one song I always liked by the group called Cream. And it's interesting for a couple of reasons. One of my favorite reasons is that this is the only Cream song that Eric Clapton does not even appear on.
Okay.
This is the Jack Bruce and Ginger Baker song called As You Said.
Okay.
And it features Jack Bruce playing twin guitars and twin cellos and Ginger Baker. And it's just this wonderful song. And you hear this song and you try to imagine one of these new bands that have come out in the past 10 or 15 years trying to come up with this. And it's not possible.
Right.
It's not possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, so the song that I chose is As You Said,
okay,
by Cream.
And then Will kind of fits it.
The title track, Watcher of the Skies, and for all those times when I would use some version of it as background and we'd have to fade it down and not hear the actual cool song,
yeah,
you get the original in all of its glory.
Yeah. And then the last song we're going to hear is a song called Going Down the Road by Painter, which is the background music for Little Rock Classics.
And we're going to do that
right now.
Go down to where it's
Can you tell when the one ended and the other began?
That was a very good segue.
Yep.
Very good.
Okay.
Well, I want to say thanks to Mark and Will for coming in tonight, making this a memorable Little Rock Classics.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And thanks to Clyde with, you know, and shout out to all the thousands and thousands of people out there who've got their, you know, their tape recorders rolling and stuff like that. You should call us sometime. You could find out interesting things we have on tape.
Well, and I do have one last comment. Clyde, speaking on behalf of Mark and Will, it's been an honor and a privilege to be part of Beaker Street. We've all enjoyed working with you. You're a true radio legend. You're going to be missed not only by us, but by all your listeners.
Well, then I'm going to miss all my listeners, yeah. But hopefully for not for long. I'm scheming. I don't know, you know, where it's going to go or what's going to happen, but I'm still scheming. So.
Well, that's good. We'll be following you, that's for sure.
We love you, man.
There you go.
Love you, man. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'm Scott Reed. Everybody take care.
And this is KKPT, Little Rock, The Point, 94.1. The last Little Rock Classics, Watcher of the Skies, Lost Classics, whatever you want to say. For the time being, anyway. Who knows? And this is going to be the first time and probably the last time that we're going to do this, jump directly into commercial time, because we have run just a wee bit long. So stand by. Muse and Across the Skies.
I don't know. Number being a picture, some face. By the way, through the smoke I see you when it takes the hell away. One of them can't tell the difference between an hour and a day. The other one can get about this close to a cliche. Save integrity, she still calls it art. I call it mutiny. I come on in the waters by yourself. What have we done? Psychotic way of thinking. Now Miss Morris said, throw your weight into the wheel. Throw it hard enough to stop your squealing. Measurize emotions. Greatest powers of observation. Never got that much done. Speculate as to who holds the truest observation. If I tried to fold you tonight, you would have known by now. That I had a fight inside of me. I'm not playing this time. If you believe in what I'm saying this time, go get the gun. Start praying. While I lay thinking, the ship was sinking.
Michael Thomas, who I worked with way back when for a while, and Pray for the Captain. I'm Clyde Clifford. This is Beaker Street, the last Beaker Street on the Point, and last stop set of this hour.